All right, we just heard from President Joe Biden, his farewell speech to the nation. Me and Chris here for the next couple minutes. We'll give you our kind of takeaways. I took a couple of notes. Next segment, I'll let you guys react because I'm going to ask you a question about Joe Biden here in just a few minutes. Some things that stood out to me from his farewell speech. One of the things that clearly stood out towards the early part is, will we stand up against the abuse of power? And I think that that is something that a lot of people are concerned about in this country, because I think there are a lot of people that feel as though Donald Trump, who throughout the years has exhibited bully behavior, will, now that he's been reelected to the highest office in our nation, will look for vengeance to people just because he doesn't like them. He feels that they've wronged him, that he feels that they've done whatever it is, right? And so I think there are some concerns about that. That was one of the things that stood out to me. Another thing, the free press, okay? When you hear things like from certain politicians about certain organizations, certain journalistic or journalism companies being outspoken about whatever in society, that we talk about freedom of the press, but now we're hearing people talking about being oppressive towards those outlets and defunding NPR and all of these other weird things that people are saying. There's concerns about that. So the free press was something that I jotted down. The climate change, clearly that's something that people are talking about 24/7 right now. And I think that that should be at the top of mind for all of us, because it impacts all of us, right? Regardless of your economic status, regardless of your racial background, regardless of your religion, like, climate change is real. We have to be cognizant of it, and we have to do what we can to slow it down. Social media accountability and the lies, that was something specifically that he brought up. And I absolutely 100% echo those sentiments, because there are platforms that when I see things there, I know immediately to go and fact check it, because the majority of the time it's falsehoods. So I think that we have in society, there are certain outlets, there are certain organizations that we've deemed them to be trustworthy, okay? Mm-hmm. And just for an example, I would say like Associated Press. Like when you see the Associated Press.
Nonpartial.
Or well, I'm just talking about just in terms of news. Reuters.
Reuters, yep.
Like there's a lot of, there's outlets that have been around for quite some time that when you see something, and you're like, well, the Associated Press is, you look at it and you know that you kind of, in the back of your mind, you give it a thumbs up because they have been good with fact checking. They have integrity. They have a long-standing tradition of doing journalism the right way.
Objective.
And so when you start to see other things come out, and there's a difference between facts and then opinion, okay? We get that. But now more than ever, you have to be smart enough to figure out the difference between the two. Because right now in our country, people will take a lot of things as fact, and they're not fact. They are certified opinions. That's why I like to, on this show, I always will talk about my opinion, because I'm paid to give an opinion. Now, I'm not paid to lie. Okay, I'm paid to give an opinion. We put in the details of whatever the topic is or the story and all of that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to give my opinion and my assessment and my analysis on certain things, whether it's wolves, whether it's whatever it is. That's just the way it is. Okay, so the social media accountability and the lies, he mentioned that. He also, and this was a direct, just, he didn't say the name, but we know he's talking about Donald Trump, presidential immunity, okay? And that presidents can and should be held accountable for what they do in office, okay? Now, it's, we can sit here and we can hear that and we can think about it and at the same time look at Merrick Garland and say Merrick Garland didn't do enough, whatever. Been there, done that. That's old news. Don't want to hear about Merrick Garland anymore. That's old news. He didn't do anything, okay? The reality is that, yes, that is right with regards to looking at a person that's holding office. No one person should go through life unaccountable for their actions. He also said and stated, and this is more along the lines of, how would I put this? The American dream, okay? Is that everyone, in his words, he said everyone should get a fair shot. He said there's no guarantees, but he specifically used the word possibilities with regards to this country. To me, all he's doing in that specific moment is defining the American dream, and that everyone in this country should be afforded a fair shot at a good life, and that there's no guarantee. So those are some of the things that I took away. He talked about the oligarchs and how that's affecting us in the U.S., and that's 100% true. I think it's embarrassing, and I think it's laughable that a South African man by the name of Elon Musk potentially would have an office at the White House because of how much money he is worth. It's unacceptable. It should not be a thing. But this is what we're talking about. We're talking about people that have accumulated so much wealth in this world that they are able to take their wealth and buy whatever they want. And we're talking about governments. 651-461-9226. The question that I want you guys to help me with on the other side of the break is, how will we remember Joe Biden? 651-461-9226. Your text, your calls, we get to them next year on The Lake Show. All right, you heard the farewell speech to the nation, your takeaways, but also, how will we remember Joe Biden? We'll get to your phone call, 651-461-9226. Quickly, when I think of Joe Biden, I will think of somebody that truly loves this country, truly loves the United States of America. The humility that he has will not be forgotten. One thing that I think that many people will appreciate, the lower prescription drugs. Without question, that's something that we had heard about leading up to the 2020 election, and he made good on. Jobs in the economy. Creating jobs, having a stable and a good economy, definitely something that I think people will look back on and say that he was great with jobs. Those are just some of the things. But how will you remember Joe Biden? Clearly, I believe that he's somebody that truly loves America. And I know that the text line is weighing in. The very first text said that was great. They enjoyed hearing him talk in that way. The 612, I think he went out with dignity. I stood and applauded him. Thank you for your service. Let's take some phone calls. Let's start with Nick in Roseville. How you doing, Nick?
Hi, good evening to you. So my takeaway was, yes, I agree completely with you that Joe Biden is someone who loves our country and is very fair, unlike, you know, the coming administration. But I think we will remember him as someone who's a good listener.
That's good. And thanks to the phone call from Nick. I think that that's a great quality to have in life in general, Chris, is to be able to be a good listener. Truly. That's one reason why I love the whole concept of what we do here in radio is being able to talk and give an opinion, but also elicit phone calls and take opinions too.
There are a lot of people that go through life not listening, but they're hearing something and they're contemplating what they're going to say next. Instead of really trying to, you know, have empathy to people. So I hadn't thought about it that way till Nick brought it up. I'm gonna have to go back and I'm gonna have to think about that.
Yep. All right, let's take a phone call from Dave in Andover. Dave.
How you doing, man? I appreciate you being on the radio, and I appreciate you taking my call, Henry.
No problem. Thank you for listening and for calling, man.
I listen all the time. I'm an old guy, and unfortunately, I'm living by myself here.
I'm sorry for your loss, man.
Yeah, my wife had some really nasty stuff going on, and she just passed. She hadn't lived at home for about 2 years, and she was in a long-term care facility, and she just passed away about six weeks ago.
Yep. My thoughts are with you.
Joe Biden, great person. He was a wonderful, amazingly good person. And he had dealt with tragedies in his life. When his first wife and a daughter died in a car accident. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he has empathy. And he's, trying to do the best he could. Unfortunately, he probably should have stepped back a little earlier than he did. But I mean, I can kind of understand he was that's a difficult thing to do, especially for a person in his position, where he's trying to do the most amount of good that he can. And so I think he's going to go down as a good president, an amazingly good person.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the phone call from Dave in Andover. 651-461-9226. From the 612, I don't think we will remember him. I think he will become a forgotten president, sadly. I don't think that there's any – I mean, I don't believe that.
I think there was enough that happened, both good and bad, that he's not going to be one of those presidents that's just going to be – glossed over. I think you could call him as a transitional president from Trump back into Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to make, if you want to say that's one of his lasting legacies, you won't get an argument from me.
Yep. This from the 320, President Biden will be remembered for delaying fascism for 4 years. Thankfully, fascism historically collapses at some point, Matt. In Little Falls. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim in Apple Valley. How you doing, Jim?
Good. I think, as we've seen from Zeph President Carter, it'll take a while to fully apprise Joe Biden's presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in the short term, what stands to stand out is the bad stuff, and unfortunately, I think he was a mean, foolish, arrogant, entitled president. And
you think that say it again?
I think he was vain, foolish, arrogant, and entitled.
That Biden was?
Yeah.
What was arrogant about him?
Arrogant?
What was arrogant about him?
How about pardoning his son?
No one agrees with that. What was arrogant about him over the course of the 4 years?
That he didn't step down. That he didn't realize when it was time for him to give it up. I mean, he did a lot of good stuff too, but you got to balance it out with a lot of mistakes that he made.
What are all the mistakes though?
Oh, like not giving enough aid to Ukraine in time. Like I said, not stepping down when he should have. Pardoning his son.
Wait. You're regurgitating a couple things. I don't think that anybody, and I said he was a hypocrite for pardoning his son. He never should have pardoned his son. You're saying he didn't give enough. Right. He didn't give enough money to Ukraine. So most people said he gave too much money.
No, if he would have given more money to Ukraine to begin with, they would have had Russia back on their heels. But instead, they're still fighting them.
All right. Well, thanks for the phone call from Jim in Apple Valley. That's the first time that I've heard anyone in this country say that he didn't give enough money to Ukraine. I've never heard that be a criticism at all. I've criticized him for ending up being a hypocrite and pardoning his son. I totally get that. We understand why he did that ultimately, but he went back on his word. But I think that's the first time I've heard him be called arrogant, but also that he didn't give. I mean, he's given Ukraine so much money, man.
Well, he has. And the fact that it wasn't delivered timely was not his fault. You know, he wanted to give it. But remember when the Republicans took control of the House in 2022 in the midterms, Mike Johnson, once he was elected speaker, he delayed. It was a constant delay. And, I mean, I think polls from August of last year, I mean, Americans are more sympathetic to Ukraine than Russia. Now, there are absolutely, like, absolute mismanagements. I think the whole withdrawal from Afghanistan, you can make a case that was extremely messy. You know, tackling immigration, I think, you know, inflation. Staying in the election, I think, is going to be a big one, because he was the stubborn old man who stayed in maybe a little bit too long. And that's, I think that's one of the contentious points.
But hold on, wait. Do we actually think that that's the reason why Kamala Harris lost?
No.
Okay, so.
No.
I think that people that say that he didn't get out early enough, I just think that's a weak excuse. I think that's a lame excuse, to be honest with you.
Well, I think that though people are going to look at it as he was, you know, he was very, very stubborn. And for me, the one thing that I'm going to remember from him is managing the COVID crisis, because he came in at the second wave of COVID. And the advice given to the public was completely a stark contrast to the Trump administration, which was chaotic and incompetent at best. Now, you can say that they didn't rebuild the trust, but at least there was a clear plan for COVID, whereas I felt like, you know, the administration before was trying to make it up as they went along, thinking that, well, I know best, instead of just going with what the experts were telling you. So I think just stabilizing out of the COVID crisis, that's what I'm going to remember. But to me, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed bag.
From the 507, last text we'll get to here, he will be remembered as a stabilizer stuck in between two chaotic administrations, and thank God for that. All right, you can continue with the text, 651-461-9226. We've got headlines. That's next year on The Lake Show. All right, it's time for headlines here on the Good Neighbor News Talk 830 WCCO. Chris, what you got? What you got, baby?
All right, let's get to it. Hey, Dorn Clark won the crowded special DFL primary election last night for the Minnesota Senate seat covering northeastern Minneapolis and Hennepin County, almost assuring his place at the state capitol in coming weeks. Clark won 38% of the vote, beating the next best candidate, Monica Meyer, who had almost 35% of the votes in the DFL race. Now, in the January 20th general election, Clark will go against Republican Abigail Walters, who beat out one challenger with 72% of the votes. At stake is breaking the 33-33 tie in the Minnesota Senate, but the seat is in a solidly Democratic district. A total of 5,436 votes were cast the DFL primary Tuesday compared to just 212 in the Republican. Now, the winner will succeed Senator Kerry Dietzick, who died from ovarian cancer at age 62 in December. She held the seat since 2012. Clark chaired the Senate District 60 DFL for 2 years and was the party's endorsed candidate. He works in the ethics department at Medtronic. Walters, a software engineer, was endorsed by the Minneapolis Republican Party. Meanwhile, Meyer, the political director at the Gender Justice, earned an endorsement from U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar. Peter Wagenius, the legislative and political director for the Sierra Club Minnesota, finished third among DFLers with 23% of the vote. He was endorsed by State Attorney General Keith Ellison.
Yeah, this seat is going to go to, I mean, when you look at that and you think about Carrie Desick, and may she rest in peace, you know, this is a Democratic stronghold right here.
Yeah, I mean, this all but seems like it's a formality to go
yes.
back to a DFL, mm-hmm. Barring something,
yeah,
you know, out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Yeah, you never know. So, hey, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin did not inform Congress of the White House as required when he was incapacitated due to treatment for prostate cancer when complications worsened his condition last year. The Pentagon's watchdog concluded in a highly critical report released Wednesday. The Inspector General's report faults Austin for the communication failures early last year, which he kept his hospitalization secret for days, even from President Joe Biden. The Inspector General found that his strong desire for privacy likely influenced his staff in deciding not to prod further into his condition. Now, Austin did not inform either Congress or the White House of his initial treatment in December 2023 for prostate cancer, tell his staff or the White House of his worsening complications on January 1st, 2024, which led him to be taken by ambulance to the Walter Reed Army National Military Medical Center. Now, the internal review blamed privacy restrictions and staff hesitancy for their failure to quickly notify the president and other senior leaders about Austin's hospitalization, called for a number of procedural changes to improve communications and to avoid similar problems in the future. Changes include better guidelines for the transfer of authorities and better reporting requirements during those incidents. And the White House also made changes in federal guidelines as a result of the incident.
I mean, this is... Look, at the end of the day, it was unacceptable that the defense secretary did not apprise the White House of what was going on. Like that, this is there's no other way that you
it's
can look at that. Like you cannot look at that. And we said that at the time. Like, who does that? You should not do that. So, yeah, you cannot have people in limbo, and you're the defense secretary. So Lloyd Austin, yeah, he should be getting crushed for this because it never should have gotten to that.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. That's a very serious health situation.
Absolutely. I mean, you gotta let people know. Hey, the calendar may have turned to 2025, but the Cardi B and Offset drama spilled into the new year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Cardi took to X Spaces on Tuesday, where she accused her estranged husband, along with his mother, Latavia Woodward, of robbing her. Quote, "I ain't listen after you and your mama robbed me," she claimed. "Yeah, you and your mom robbed me cold, wiped my nose. I told you to stop effing playing with me." The Grammy-winning rapper didn't
Jeez.
Allude to exactly what she meant, and I cleaned it up, actually.
Well, I know you did. You had to.
The Grammy-winning rapper didn't allude exactly what she meant when it came to the alleged robbery. Cardi went on to allege that Offset didn't want any part in playing the role of Santa Claus this year. She claimed that Set didn't buy their three children a single gift for Christmas this holiday season, even after a New York City shopping spree for his kids with other women. Cardi confessed that she, quote, couldn't even enjoy her own wins because she felt like something was going on somewhere else. She continued, "And this is the realest stuff somebody could ever do for you. I used to pray for this person before I prayed for myself. And then this MF-er had the nerve to say that I was being competitive." Now, she filed to divorce Offset for the second time after 7 years of marriage over the summer. The very next day, Cardi announced that she was expecting her third baby, who arrived on September 7th. The former couple also shares a 6-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son.
They're messy. I can't sit here and say I'm a fan of Offset or that I'm a fan of Cardi B.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I'm not necessarily a fan. It just, very messy, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Coors Light, well, there's no better example of having a case of Mondays than the day after the Super Bowl.
Hey.
Coors announced Wednesday that it's temporarily changing its name to Monday's Light in an attempt to bring chill to one of the worst Mondays of the year by selling a 12-pack of beer bearing the new moniker. The packaging, which replaces the word Coors for Mondays, is available at retailers nationwide beginning this month for a limited time. Television ad promoting the package dubbed the specific day as the worst Monday ever since football season is over. Of course, the case of the Mondays was introduced in the 1999 film Office Space.
Do you believe that the Monday after the Super Bowl should be a holiday?
No.
Or a day off?
No.
There are people that think that.
No.
Oh, man.
I still won't drink Coors.
Coming up next, a great call by the Attorney General Keith Ellison suing a big-time manufacturer. We get to that next.